Time for Sports Lit 101. Bruce Pratt joining us in studio, and looking forward to hearing more details about this book because you've been raving about it for weeks.
Yeah, and it's funny. I was unable, well, no one was able to attend the Sport Literature Conference this year in person. It was virtual. It was also the time when, the last few days of my mother's life, and I was not able to attend a lot of the sessions. But Jamie Dopp, friend of downtown, talked about this novella, The Black Bonspiel of Willie McCrimmon. Now, this piece of literature has a very interesting story. It was originally a short story, then it was adapted into a play with a slightly different title, and then it was turned into a novella later on. Now the author, W.O. Mitchell, was born in 1914 in Saskatchewan, so he has left us long ago. But this came out, that the edition I have came out in 1993, and what Jamie talked about is really interesting. How do you make curling the subject of a book, right? I mean, I happen to enjoy watching curling. My friend Fred Mason enjoys watching curling. I don't have a lot of other friends who enjoy watching curling. So there's terminology we need to get down. The captain of a curling team is called the skip, and the team itself is called a rink, just like an ice rink. This story takes place in Alberta, in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains, and it's about Willie McCrimmon, who is the son of Scottish immigrants who later went back to Scotland, and he is the town's cobbler, leather man, and one day the devil comes to visit him and needs his curling shoes fixed because the devil loves to curl. And don't worry, it's explained how you can curl in hell later on in the book, right? Which
was the first, that's cold day in hell, right?
That's the first thing that just... And McCrimmon is you know, one of the characters in town. He's widowed. He can be a little bit on the brusque side, but he's known as a great, great curling skip. And his all these rinks want to win what's called the Brier, that the curling championship of Canada. And at the time that the book was written, curling was even more popular than hockey in Canada, in part because it's easier to learn to do because you don't have to skate. Not that it's easy to learn to do. I'm not suggesting for a moment curling is an easy sport, but you don't have to know how to skate, and there's no goalie, right? So
right.
It does change things. Well, Willie also has this other sort of complaint in his life, and that is that he's a Presbyterian, and his church closed and merged with the Methodist church, and he's still angry about that and upset about that, and he really doesn't like the fact that a lot of the people in town prevent them from having curling matches on Sunday, which, of course, will be the day when the devil decides he wants to have a special curling match, and he wants it to count. So what this becomes is a retelling of the Faust legend, a retelling of Robert Johnson's famous meeting with the devil. And the other thing that's really interesting about the rest of the guys on Willie's rink, on his team, is they all have the same first name. So they all have they get known by other names. And I don't want to spoil, I really don't want to spoil that because that's really funny. So anyway, in the town of Shelby, the devil shows up and he wants his curling shoes fixed. And he challenges Willie's team to a game, to a match. And during that, whoever wins that match, here's the deal. If Willie wins, then his team goes on to win the Brier. If the devil wins, well, Willie spends eternity in hell as the number two on the devil's team. Okay? Because the devil needs him to be a number two. Now, in curling, there's the skip, and then there's players one, two, and three. So he debates about whether he's going to do this, and he decides he's going to do it. And then there's the whole thing. Does he tell the other guys in the team what's going on, or does he just tell them they have a match? Well, one of the guys on the team's wife is very religious, and she's very much against curling on a Sunday. And the local reverend is against curling on a Sunday. And the local reverend will actually have to be part of the game later on. This book is hysterical. And if especially, and I think most people, really young people may not get this, because young people in Maine don't have any kind of background with this kind of churches, sort of mainstream Protestant denominations. They may not get some of the inside jokes, which are very, very funny. But the way that Willie contrives to win the game, to win the match, and I will not for a moment spoil that, is one of the most inventive things I've ever, ever seen. It's brilliant. And this is only 100 and maybe 40 pages long, something like that, 130 some pages long. And it's got two novels worth of stuff in it. I mean, it's that good. I really want to see the play someday or read the play.
Now, is it still in print?
I don't know if it's still in print. I got it for $1.45 online because Gibran said he couldn't get it or couldn't get it quickly. So I went and ordered it. But my friends in Canada all get it. So it's available through McClellan and Stewart, which is a prominent Canadian publisher. And again, it's called The Black Bonspiel of Willie McCrimmon. If you have no interest in curling, you will still laugh. There were some times I had to put the book down, put my finger in the place, and I'm just roaring. And my wife is saying, "What are you laughing at?" I'm going, "This is hysterical." And I would read her a passage, and she'd start to laugh, and she didn't even know where I was in the book. It reminds me of why I like sports literature, because there's so many places to go with it. We've had poets on us on the show that have read poems that have just seized our heart, have made us roar out loud. We've read books that are moving, books that are funny, books that are edifying. This book is just a great read, and it says, "What the devil is this book all about? It's a hell of a good curling story," and so much more. What I find so interesting too is that the devil's team includes Judas, Macbeth, and Guy Fawkes.
Wow.
They're the three guys, right? They play for the devil's team. And Macbeth is so perfectly gloomy in this, right? And they all curl in their natural dress. I mean, Macbeth is in his Thane's robes, and Judas is in his robes. Guy Fawkes is dressed the way he was. It suddenly dawns on them that, geez, if we lose, I'm better off, because if we win, one of us is going to get knocked out of the game and move down a notch. I mean, every single aspect of the humor is perfectly educated. It's pitch perfect language. The pace of the book is great. Someday later on, we may examine this book in a different way, but I really want people to go out and find it. W.O. Mitchell, The Black Bonspiel, and Bonspiel is what a curling match is called, Bonspiel, of Willie McCrimmon, illustrated by Wesley Bates. It's McClellan and Stewart Incorporated.
When was it written?
This was the copyright on this edition was 1993, but I got to see it when it was first. If it says when it was first, well, this was when the novella came out. The play predates it, and the short story predates that. So I'm guessing this was. I forgot to ask Jamie when it was, but Mitchell wrote a lot of other books, and I'm hoping to find them because it's just hysterical. In fact, I will show you guys how funny it is to see Guy Fawkes, Macbeth, and Judas on the curling rink with their old-fashioned curling brooms, not the brooms that we see today and the like. And it's just perfect. Here's the devil walking into Willie's store with his curling boots under his under his arm. I mean, it's so absurdly funny at times that it just... I'm looking forward to reading again. It was great. In fact, you guys will enjoy this.
Now, you said you watched curling. Have you played?
No, and there's a curling rink in Belfast.
Right, because Alan has been there a number of times.
And I was supposed to go last winter, and then, of course, it got closed. I want to alert people what we're doing next week. Two people presented on this play at SLA. I thought, this doesn't sound like it's up my alley. It's called The Wolves. It's by Sarah DeLapp. Boy, was I wrong. the entire action is a group of adolescent girls soccer team warming up before indoor games. And it's just the girls talking to one another and occasional stuff from the coach. This is electrifying in places.
Wow.
It won. It was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize for Drama. It's her first full-length play. She won the Relentless Award. It was a New York Times Critics pick. She had just finished her MFA. As you can see, this is a young person. From Brooklyn College, Brooklyn University. She won the Susan Smith Blackburn Prize, the Yale Drama Series Prize, right out of the gate. I have not quite finished it, but this is a remarkable book. It reminds me of 20 Miles by Kara Headley and how well it examines the way young female adolescent athletes talk and act. More of the world needs to know about that because a lot of us grew up when they didn't have teams.
Right.
But this is really good. And Sarah DeLapp, Jabron was able to get this for me very quickly. It's called The Wolves, and I'm really looking forward. I'm up to one of the last two games that they prepare for.
Nice.
It's great.
Look forward to more on Sports Lit 101. Speaking of Jabron, and we gave him kudos the other day, but we'll mention it again here during Sports Lit, the Briar Patch named by Down East Magazine Bookstore of the Year in the state of Maine.
Yeah, I was really glad to see that because they stayed with it, and it's a lot easier in Portland, and it's a lot easier in Lewiston, Auburn, and bigger towns than it is to do it here. And to thrive during this pandemic, I think they deserve tremendous kudos.
Absolutely.